Len Zeem, the temperatures hit up in the Chicago area here today of 46 degrees, even though it was overcast all day. The good news is the couple of golf courses I drove past seemed to have 20 to 30 cars in the parking lot. And if there was ever a message to get out and play some golf, it was today. The sun wasn't out, but the good news was that some people were getting out. And since after tomorrow, when it's supposed to hit 40 on Tuesday, we may not see the 40s again here this year or early couple weeks of 2021. The good news is we don't have any snow. So hopefully if that continues, you never know. We get a couple warm days. You never know when golf courses might open.
Well, there's a message here somewhere. We had just one of the most spectacular days of the year in Florida. And if you have playing in 40s there in Illinois, it's only appropriate that we hit number 40 for the Zeem and Spears podcast this year, which is, it's really been a great year as far as I'm concerned. This has been, we've been really steady with this, and given that we think we've given the people a lot to enjoy, and we're looking forward to an even bigger year in 2021.
Len, we have to talk about our friends at Mistwood Golf, Chicago's year-round golf operation. The Dome is in full swing over there in Bolingbrook, even though some of the stalls, hitting bays, are actually closed right now. There is some COVID restrictions going on, but the Dome is open, and you can get some food and drink to use and enjoy while you're hitting, but most of the people pretty much taking it to go, or they're going back out in their car and they're eating before they come in and hit. Probably a better idea to grab it and go. But anyway, McWethy's Tavern at Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville is open under the same circumstances. And I think the pro shop over at Mistwood got cleaned out at the blowout Christmas sale last Saturday, where some items were actually up to 70% off. I don't know if they're going to move any remaining merchandise over to the Dome yet. We'll have to see about that. But the good news is that the Dome operation is up and running. You can get your lessons there. You can get your fittings there. And at least that part has not been shut down like it was in the spring.
Well, Mistwood has just been really supportive of us, and we're very appreciative of it. I know you'll feel the same way on that. Mistwood, you can't go wrong with Mistwood. And I look back ahead to the days when we're come back to Chicago and play that golf course again. It's going to be in the spring for me, but it can't be too soon. That's always a favorite place of mine.
Well, I know that the Mistwood staff and the McWethy family are going to have a special day at some point in the spring to remember owner Jim McWethy, who unfortunately passed away this year, one of the great guys in golf. He did so much for the sport. And I hope that when his name comes up on an Illinois Golf Hall of Fame ballot, that he gets voted in right away, because he certainly deserves it. And I'm not sure if it's going to get called the McWethy Cup anymore, his annual golf outing, but maybe it'll be the Jim McWethy Memorial. But I hope there's some good weather and they have it this spring and everybody gets a chance to remember Jim in the spring of 2021.
Well, you know, making the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, my induction last 2019 was, of course, a career highlight for me. And I'll be the first to suggest and nominate and speak up for the selection of Jim McWethy for the next induction class. Certainly well deserving. He's done an awful lot for Chicago golf.
Well, I do know that the Mistwood Golf Club is looking forward to hosting the Illinois State Amateur Championship next summer, and I know that they will get to work here at some point in 2021 on trying to piece the Illinois Women's Open back together after it had to take this year off due to the situation of the pandemic. But Len, let's see, we got a variety of topics here to get through on our final podcast of the year. And I want to talk about one of the big news events. And believe it or not, it comes out here in mid to late December, but it's everything that's happening at Medina Country Club. And today on golfersongolf.com, I posted the interview with past president Michael Simo, and we talked about an upcoming renovation that they're going to do, and it looks like it'll be with a company called OCM. The O stands for Jeff Ogilvie, the 2006 U.S. Open champion at Wingfoot, and his design team from Melbourne, Australia. So it'll be interesting to see what that group comes up with in terms of a master plan for the championship course, Medina 3.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting selection by Medina, I felt. The Ogilvie team is not one that's particularly well-known in the United States, although it has done some work away from its native Australia. But my understanding, which makes it very interesting to me especially, is that Medina wants to see what this group can do, what they want to do to freshen up and change and improve Medina, which is not an unusual thing. Every few years, the very top clubs do that. But it's not a done deal that whatever the Ogilvie group suggests is going to be done. So it's, you know, Medina's had just a terrific little period here. They're going to be they learned that they'll be the site of the President's Cup in 2026. They've taken this major step in bringing in the Ogilvie team to look at the redesign of the famous number 3 course, which is, you know, it's undergone its updating and changes over the years as big championships have come and been finished and time moves on. It'll be an ongoing story for us to talk about for quite a while, really, to see just what Jeff Ogilvie, I was at the U.S. Open that he won. At Wingfoot, he got a big break there when Phil Mickelson hit his tee shot on the 18th hole on the roof of a refreshment stand. So it was quite a way to finish the tournament. But I'm sure he's capable. He certainly knows his golf, and I'll be fascinated to see what comes of this whole decision to bring him in as a course architect.
We will have the second part of my interview with Michael Simo, the former Medina Club president, running on golfersongolf.com on Wednesday morning. Simo was a very good interview, and I have part one with him up on the site already, which basically talks about the changes to course number 3 and the potential renovation plan. Part two will focus on the President's Cup in 2026 and how that situation evolved between the club and the PGA Tour. So we hope everybody will stay clicked in for that.
Yeah, I certainly had a sneak preview of your interview, an excellent interview with the former president of Medina, who's done a lot. He was very much a hands-on guy with the BMW Championship when it was there last year. Medina tends to do everything right. So I think the club is all behind this move and looking ahead to getting another major championship. It's a club that doesn't want a major every year, doesn't want to be a tour event. But it's been the site of the, as of course most people remember, the 2012 Ryder Cup, a very memorable event. And then, of course, the 2019 BMW Championship was a good event as well. And Justin Thomas winning. You know, the next one will be the President's Cup, a great fit for Medina, I think. The President's Cup in Medina should be a real good attraction. It's just a shame that it's a few years away because the excitement is already building. It's going to be big in my book, so I'm looking forward to see where it's all going.
Len, I'm going to toss out a couple of ideas that I have seen in the last several hours in regards to last-minute holiday gifts for golfers. You've still got about 48 to 72 hours to shop. Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena is offering gift cards and has some sales going in its pro shop. I also see that if anybody would like to get a golf membership at the Innisbrook Golf Resort just north of Tampa, down in Florida, only a few hours away from Len Zeem, they are running specials for the next few days on golf memberships down there. So if you're spending a lot of time in Florida, Innisbrook has 4 great golf courses, including Copperhead, which is used for the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. And that's one of those golf courses that is challenging and one that you could almost play every day. French Lick Resort is out there offering gift cards and different things to look ahead as people start to think about travel in 2021. And also, there are several golf courses in the area that still have merchandise sales going on sale, that you can buy right now. Of course, it might be too late at this point to get them shipped. You might have to go over in person and pick things up if you need them by Friday. But then again, there is plenty of golf options out there for people who still need last-minute golf presents before Friday.
Well, you know, I think I should make a special pitch here for Innisbrook. I'm glad that was brought up here, because I don't know if the people from Chicago are all aware of this, but the designer of all the courses over there was Larry Packard, and his son Roger was also involved in some of them. But Larry was a very famous Chicago architect for many, many, many years, and he did the courses out there. Larry wound up moving there and lived to be 101 on the property there at Innisbrook. It's a place that I've really kind of grown even more fond of since really becoming a regular Florida resident. You know, the host of the Valspar Championship, and that'll be having new dates this year. It'll be a little later than it has been, a little separated from the usual Florida swing on the PGA Tour. But it's a course, the Copperhead course. There is one that the tour players, almost to the man, have always liked it. It's one of the most popular courses on the PGA Tour for just the play, as far as the players are concerned. You know, there's a lot of golf to be played in Florida anyway, but even a whole lot to play at Innisbrook. So I would heartily recommend that our followers who are thinking of a travel stop, they should give real serious consideration to Innisbrook.
Glenn, I'm hoping that golf travel is going to explode even maybe by the spring here, as maybe a majority of the population starts to get their inoculation for the COVID-19 virus. Some people are getting those shots already, and it seems like a lot of people are telling me that whether you go to your local pharmacy or you go see your doctor, that 30 to 60 days from now, if you're in the right category, you will have gotten your shot, and hopefully people can start to really get out and travel golf-wise again in 2021. I see that Pinehurst is also running some specials as well. So get on their website, pinehurst.com, for some play and stays coming up in 2021. And then, Len, some other things to think about here. Going back down to the Sunshine State of Florida, a chapter in golf history seemed to close yesterday with the shutdown of the Golf Channel in Orlando. Amazing. Something launched by Arnold Palmer and investors around 20 years ago or so, and now it's gone.
You know, that's a real sad thing from my standpoint. I remember when they first created the Golf Channel. I was still in Chicago then. I'm trying to think of the year. I can't remember the year, but it came. I remember making a specific decision to watch the very first show. And I watched it, and it was basically an instructional thing. And my first reaction was, well, this is never going to make it. And then a few days later, I was watching, coming home from work. I worked a lot of night things for the Chicago Sun-Times back then. And I put it on, and there was a Wide World of Golf show from 30 years ago. Bob Charles, I believe, against Tommy Bolt. And I watched the whole thing. Went to bed at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't turn it off. And then I got more thinking, you know what, if more people are like me, they're going to watch this show. And it turned out that was exactly the case. They started getting more tournament coverage, more very quality instructional material. The morning show was a staple of mine to watch all the time. And it's not going to be quite the same. I got a chance to visit the Golf Channel studios on their 10th anniversary. And I just, it's hard for me to imagine the Golf Channel moving from Florida to Connecticut. You know, it's just kind of a funny thing in golf. I don't, you know, it's hard for me to really be rah-rah about it, but because Florida's losing a little bit, the PGA of America is moving from its longtime home in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, but 40 miles from me here. They're moving their main headquarters to Frisco, Texas. So I'm wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Is the will the LPGA Tour move from Daytona? Will the PGA Tour move from Ponte Vedra? Will the PGA Merchandise Show move from Orlando? Florida is a hotbed for golf. It's been for years and years and years. The departure of the Golf Channel, it was a strange one for me. I guess I can see some of the reasons for it. It was certainly a fixture in Orlando, and I'm sure as a TV show it'll still be popular, but a little hard for me to get used to at the moment. I guess it's a little too soon. We'll have to see what they're doing in Connecticut.
Well, you have to wonder if they're going to rename one of the studios the Arnold Palmer Studio that they had down in Orlando. A lot of people always thought it was special to go in there and be interviewed in the Arnold Palmer Studio, where apparently he did his first interview at the Golf Channel, and it was named after him. Len, we also kind of have breaking news on and from the Players Service here with some of our local pros, and headed up by John Perna. One of their students, John Wild from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, has just committed to play college golf at one of the major powers in the country, Oklahoma State. So congratulations to John Wild earning a scholarship to play for a college that traditionally is always right there in the national finals, and they only recruit the best of the best, and it's nice to see a local kid has a chance to be part of that.
Absolutely, the college of Ricky Fowler and a lot of other players long before Ricky. That's that made for a while there. I always felt like Houston was the premier college golf school, and then for a long run it was of course Oklahoma State. Now we're of course very impressed with the kind of things that Mike Small has done at Illinois, in a whole different kind of climate, especially. But you can't go wrong with Oklahoma State. They've had Mike Holder has been a great coach there. He's built a very strong program with very, very, very rich in tradition. And I'm sure that a player who wants to be a pro golfer, that would be one you'd look at first and foremost before you make your college choice. Not necessarily that you'd go there, but it certainly deserves primary recognition.
Len, in the time we have left, I think it's time we take a look back at the crazy year that 2020 was here in the Chicago area and in the golf world, what we saw, what we didn't see, what we experienced, before we look at our crystal ball and predict for 2021. But Len, started off your thoughts about the 2020 golf season.
Well, I tell you, you know, the first thought was the day of March 12th. I was at the Players Championship first round in Ponte Vedra, and that's when all the news hit. That's when Commissioner Tim Monahan announced that the next three rounds of the Players and the next four tournaments in the PGA Tour were being called off because of the virus. A shocker. It caught everyone by surprise. And then, you know, it was kind of it was 3 months of a hiatus of no golf, no sports, no nothing. And then everything kind of started coming back here with two very high profile exhibitions before the June 11th restart of the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour. So it went from the very low to dropping everything to the excitement and the rebuilding of the whole thing starting up again. And the fact that they were able to play the Masters, in the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship, great, great effort on the part of the pro golf organizing bodies to be able to still put those things on in a year like this. I look on this year, really, it's a negative year for so much, a tough year, a struggling year for everybody. But, you know, for golf, I'm proud to be part of the golf industry, whatever role I play in it. And the fact that they could come back, they did a lot for people to get to see golf and back in its normal state, at least for a little while, to get the world back to normal. So it was from that standpoint, You know, that's how I'm going to remember this year of 2020. It was a positive from the standpoint of what golf did this year.
Len, I will look at it as a crazy year that started off with so much promise. And then for a short time, it looked like it was going to be one of the worst years ever for golf. And then all of a sudden, there was a golf boom. Or you and I have joked about the golf industry, shall we say, getting a COVID booster shot, because COVID really helped fill up the golf courses. In some ways, there wasn't a lot of other options people could do. And as an end result, they got out in the golf course. They got their exercise. They got their fresh air. They got to see their friends. They got to do some activity. And there's a lot more people playing golf. Some people had gotten away from the game, came back to it. There's a lot of newbies out there, so to speak, that have taken up the game. A lot of kids got golf clubs this year from their parents because the money wasn't spent elsewhere. The big challenge, I think, for the industry going ahead is to try to keep the momentum that this year actually started producing in about June and has just rolled completely through the end of the year. I mean, normally, wouldn't see 30 cars in the parking lot at the golf course the week of Christmas. I mean, we did it a few places last year because the weather was up around 60 degrees and some courses were still open. This year also set records in club sales for several months, and I'm hoping that people who bought clubs or improved their clubs will continue to use them. And as a matter of fact, so many people were buying golf balls that there was a golf ball shortage from some of the major manufacturers. But I at least will look back on this year fondly that I got to go out and cover, you know, four of the Illinois PGA section majors. I got to cover the WWGA women's amateur. I got to cover the Western amateur. So there was some tournaments that I got to do in person, so that added a little bit of the old normal into my life this year. But it's been a busy year, and trying to make the adjustments on the fly to Golfers on Golf Radio, moving stations, having different things to deal with, and a new crew, new production crew, bringing Len Zeem on golf into the team. So I know that it was a wild year for Golfers on Golf and Golfers on Golf Radio and .com, and we'll hope to keep the momentum going into 21. And I'm just hoping that people can get their COVID shots as soon as possible so that they can get back out on the golf course. People can go in and out of golf facilities without having to wear a mask, and that tournaments get fans again. And people start traveling to the great golf destinations all over the country and all over the world, for that matter. And we don't have to worry about going somewhere for the day, crossing a state line and coming back, and somebody thinks you need to quarantine.
You know, carrying that one step further, Rory, this is I'm looking ahead to 2021. And I don't know exactly when this will happen, but I'm sure it will. The fans will be back. The excitement, I think, is going to be multiplied from what it had been when it, you know, in previous years, and it was plenty big then. But once we get back to a real state of normalcy, and I don't really think it'll be that far off. I think we're going to get more and more people allowed into the tournaments. I think that there'll be, you know, maybe around the Masters, when the Masters returns in April. I think there should just be such an explosion of interest again because of what we went through in a period where, you know, things weren't so good. You know, things weren't so good, but there'll be that much of a momentum jolt to golf, and that probably other sports, as I'm sure other sports as well, but especially golf, when it'll be back to a Masters in April. We'll get a PGA and it's earlier on. It'll be a U.S. Open in June. The British Open will be back again. It wasn't even held this year, the British Open. I think that I'm really looking forward to the return of when it happens. And I really don't think it's that far off, because some of the tournaments started to play pro-ams again. Some of them started to have limited spectator and media availability. I'm really optimistic about what golf especially has to offer in 2021.
With that, Len, we will call it a season. The Zeman Spears Podcast Series 2021 Volume 1 will be back somewhere around the neighborhood of January 13th. Until then, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and also just a great new year. And hopefully next year will be a great year. And we'll see what kind of challenges it brings. We'll hope the golf industry keeps its momentum going. You and I will have to monitor how it changes due to the fact we're going to have changes in the PGA merchandise show at the end of January, which normally really kickstarts the year. We're not sure how that's all going to work out in the virtual format, but hopefully that will be a one-time thing. And with that, happy holidays, Len Zeem. It's been a great year, and we look forward to picking up these podcasts again in 2021. We want to thank our friends at Mistwood Golf, Chicago's year-round golf operation, the Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville, all winter long, the Mistwood Golf Dome over in Bolingbrook. And the dome is open, everybody. Get out and out there, hit some balls, get a lesson if you need it, check into new equipment, take those gift cards, buy some great Mistwood Golf merchandise. The food is outstanding. The chef is out there working on ribs, doing those world-famous wings, the burgers, all the other great things that you get at McWethy's Sports Bar and at McWethy's Tavern. Get on out there and enjoy it. Great food ideas, especially for Christmas and New Year's Eve. With that, Len Zeem, take care.